Blog Talk Radio.
You want to hit me? Go ahead, you weak punk. Hit me, huh? You coward.
Tanya, I am tired.
Tired of what, James? Tired of what? James, get back here!
You've heard about it. The original digital short film version was passed around from friend to friend via email messages, and as well, it has been discussed on many internet message boards, various blog sites, and even in various employee lunch break rooms and corporate America offices all across the country. It has become a cultural phenomenon. The film is provocatively entitled Diary of a Tired Black Man. And with me this evening is none other than the screenwriter and director of this film, Mr. Tim Alexander. He's about to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Blog Talk Radio presents Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, your host, Alan Roger Curry. Today is Thursday, June 28th, and it's about 8 o'clock p.m. West Coast time. Thank you for joining me this evening. As always, I'm very appreciative of anyone who takes some free time out of their busy schedule to listen to this one brother share his thoughts and wisdom on life, love, and the issues that are most relevant and of highest concern to the single man making their way in today's challenging dating scene. In addition to hosting this Blog Talk Radio show, I'm also the author of the popular paperback, Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. That's available on mode1.net, booklocker.com, barnesandnoble.com, Amazon, among others. Before I start chopping things up with my guests for the evening, I want to give my usual thanks and shout-outs. As always, much props go to Blog Talk Radio CEO and co-founder, Mr. Alan Levy. Blog Talk Radio Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Bob Cherish. And my favorite host liaison in all the world. Okay, I'm leaning on a little thick, but Miss Nikki Starr. And finally, the wonderful features editor, Miss Hillary Lee Wong. Want to give a holler out to my peeps in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix. And, of course, right here in the Chicagoland area, Chicago, Northwest Indiana, GI in the house, Indianapolis, Atlanta. I think most of my friends on the East Coast in Brooklyn, Jersey, D.C., Baltimore probably already in the bed. Also, a quick holler to my numerous MySpace.com and Facebook buddies. A high number of my listeners first heard about my Blog Talk Radio show via MySpace and or Facebook, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that they've joined me this evening. Much props to my college classmate and fraternity brother, Brother Tavis Smiley, for hosting and moderating tonight's Democratic presidential debate and forum. I thought he did an excellent job this evening, even though it's challenging to keep the presidential candidates, to keep their talking to a minimum. But I thought he did a fine job at Howard University. I thought the candidates were asked some very important questions. And round one of the much-anticipated 2007 NBA draft is now in the books. And two natives from my home state, Indiana, went number one and number four in the draft. Greg Oden was selected by the Portland Trailblazers number one, while his high school teammate and Ohio State Buckeyes co-pilot Mike Conley was selected by the Memphis Grizzlies number four. I gotta tell you, if you're looking for a good movie to see this weekend and you're a fan of good action movies, then you absolutely must go out and see Live Free, Die Hard. It is a must-see movie. I mean, the movie was off the chain. My older brother, Steven, and I saw it yesterday, and I gotta tell you, it was non-stop action. That movie really hit the ground running. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And speaking of must-see movies, the film I'm highlighting this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is a rebuttal of sorts to movies such as The Color Purple, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, How Stella Got Her Groove Back, as well as that classic film that all sisters love, Waiting to Exhale. My guest this evening says, now it's black man's turn to exhale. His name is Tim Alexander. And again, he is the screenwriter and director of the soon-to-be-released independent film, Diary of a Tired Black Man, which over the last year, year and a half, has attracted somewhat of a growing cult following. I mean, the now feature-length movie, which is an entertaining hybrid, if you will, of a fictional film combined with real-to-life industries documentary, has been viewed in a number of cities already across the country, including Los Angeles, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Detroit, and most recently, the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Before I welcome my guest this evening, I want to let my listeners know that at approximately 8:15 Pacific time, that's 10:15 Chicago time, I will start accepting phone calls at this number. You might want to grab a pen and write it down. That's 646-478-5710. Again, that is 646-478-5710. If you have a question you would like to ask of my guest, Mr. Alexander, please call in. Or if you have a comment, particularly if you've seen the movie, I would love for someone who's seen the movie to call in and give a quick review what your thoughts were. If I accept your call, though, you must be ready to ask your question quickly. Make your comment quickly. I do not like dead air on time. I would close the phone lines at about 8:45 West Coast time, 10:45 Chicago time. Now, without further ado, the gentleman I'm about to welcome to my show did not graduate from some fancy film school that costs, you know, thousands of dollars, nor is he part of the Hollywood elite in today's big budget, high, you know, A-list star studio system, but he turned his passion into reality. He is a maverick of sorts, and, you know, I really admire people who just, you know, set the goal for themselves and go out there and make it happen. And his film is provoking some much-needed dialogue between single men and single women in the African-American community. On behalf of my show, Upfront and Straightforward, as well as the whole Blog Talk Radio Network staff, I'm glad to give an enthusiastic welcome to my guest, Mr. Tim Alexander. Tim, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. And you?
Oh, I'm doing real well. I'm just excited to have you on with us tonight. And I just want to, you know, congratulate you for all the accolades you've been receiving thus far. The video reviews I've watched have been just exceptional. You know, what's interesting to me, Tim, is that a lot of people have deemed your film controversial. And I think many people have the misguided perception that your film just, its main intent is just to simply bash black women. But I noticed in a lot of your video reviews in Detroit, Atlanta, and most recently D.C., a lot of the women really felt like they were helped by your film. They felt like they really needed to see it. Well, how do you explain that?
Yeah, the clip that's online was the clip that started everything. But when I made the movie, of course, there was a lot more that went into the film. That clip was actually an excerpt from my life, in a sense, because a young lady that I was dating just reared back one day and said, you know what, you need to get a white girl. I'm like, excuse me? You need to get a white girl. You can't handle a strong black woman. And that stuck with me. And you know what? I said, you're right. I can't deal with a strong black woman. Bye. You know, not that I can't deal with a true strong black woman, but her concept of strong was her ability to fight and nag and contest everything I said. And to her, that was strength. And, excuse me, yes, she's having a bit of a cold.
No.
At that moment, I decided I never want to deal with that type of strength again. Now, there is a strong, positive black woman, but her strength was just nagging. So anyway, when I made the movie, it was never my intention to bash black women, nor is that clip really indicative of what the movie is actually about. what it's about is trying to show black women for the first time in a big open public forum that yes, indeed, some of the contributions to why relationships don't work actually do come from them. The media has only presented, you know, everything wrong with the man. He, him. The women say it, the media shows it that way, and we can't possibly think that it's that one-sided. Now, there are a lot of men who aren't up to par, but there are a number of good men. And when they do try to make a relationship and be everything a woman says she wants, they think they're weak, and they try to run all over them. So it's a movie to say, hey, let's look at it from a good man's point of view and see what happens to him when he's trying to do everything right. How is he treated by the women?
Now, that's a good point you bring up, because so many movies, and you heard some of the titles I mentioned at the outset, you know, like Waiting to Exhale and Color Purple and whatnot. You know, we've seen a history of movies that have, to one degree or another, kind of reinforce some negative stereotypes of black man as being abusive and disrespectful to the sisters. So, but nobody, rarely do you see a television show or film that basically tends to highlight a good brother just being taken for granted, mistreated, disrespected. Let me ask you this, playing lightheartedly devil's advocate, do you think good black men are the only single men in today's dating scene that are underappreciated? In other words, do you think there are some single white men who can, you know, create Diary of a Tired White Man, a Diary of a Tired Asian Man, a Diary of a Tired Hispanic Man? I mean, do you think men are just tired, period, of dealing with some of the stuff they deal with in relationships, or is it more so just black men?
Absolutely. Every white man that's seen the movies has said, I'm a tired white man. It's the same thing. I don't even see black people in the film. Asian men have said it, Hispanic men. It's a universal problem. If you look at Everyone Loves Raymond, King and Queen, Married with Children, Men Are Idiots, Men Are Idiots, Men Are Idiots. Even shows Three Company, you know, Men Are Idiots. So there's a problem with the image of men in general. They set a plan in motion on the backs of black people and make our families dysfunctional. You know, we know the effects of slavery and Willie Lynch. Then there's the feminism movement and Grace Black Women right after Martin Luther King March, and after they got that I'm a strong black woman. I have never in my life heard a white woman, an Asian woman, or a Hispanic woman say, I'm a strong white woman. I'm a strong Asian woman. Not in that context. You know, that's a black thing, because we're trying to mask the fact that as people, we're still a bit broken. So we've made this pseudo armor that looks like strength, and we beat the hell out of each other with it. But no, the problem is really in women in general. I'm just black. I'm trying to help my people. I made it from the perspective I lived it. You had mentioned earlier that the movie's part fiction and part documentary. It is not. The part you said was fiction was my life.
Oh, okay.
So everything in there is 100%, you know, based on reality. It's not a figment of anybody's imagination. That's how it really is.
Gotcha. Now, following up real quickly on some comments you just made, do you feel there's some people that argue that because it's been rooted because of slavery that, you know, sisters saw their fellow brothers being disrespected, humiliated, beaten by the man, that it's maybe hard for them subconsciously to respect them? Do you give any validity to that?
Yes. But, you know, I know where the problem started, but I'm not really trying to deal with where it started, because here's the thing. Let's really get real. Willie Lynch, by today's standard of education, was probably butt stupid. We have computers. We have the Internet. Back at that time, when they used that letter to disjoint the black family, we couldn't even spell our name. Now we have educations. You know, we have cars and homes. Some even have boats and planes. You know, we have integrated into the fiber of America as much as we want to a certain degree, but we've also managed to make ourselves this little awkward subculture that refuses to fit. So some of our problems are self-induced, but I'm not dealing with where the problem came from as much as what the actual problem is, because at this point, if we're smart enough to make it all the way through college, we weren't given that opportunity until only a few years ago. we should be able to know how to treat each other, too. It's about taking personal responsibility for being foul and not finding something way back when to blame it on. There's not a black person alive that knows any slaves or knew any slaves that even has grandmothers that knew any slaves. That's a bit far back in our history. Now, we've managed to get these educations and make all this progress in the world. We still treat each other fine. That's a personal responsibility that each one of us has to shoulder. Male, female, black, white, anything you are. If you're being foul, then that's your fault and your responsibility. The reason I put the burden on black women is because that's an area that has never been investigated. And to strengthen our family, to make sure that not another child has to hear how no good his father is for 18 years, I figured it was time we put some real light, actually a spotlight, on the situation and say, look at what you're doing to your children. Look at what you're doing to that wonderful man you finally found after all the dogs beat you and molested you and did everything else they did to you. You finally get a good guy and you think he's weak because he's not abusing you? Come on, we got to look at this. We got to fix some stuff.
Now, we got already about four or five callers waiting to ask questions or make comments, but before I open up the lines to the listeners, I wanted to ask you one more question. You mentioned family. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts? There have been different factions in society that suggest that the idea of the nuclear family structure has been devalued, that we now find it acceptable to live in what is frequently referred to as a baby mama, baby daddy, booty call society. What are your thoughts on those kind of criticisms and allegations?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely become a lot more acceptable than it should be. You know, the whole value system has been dumbed down with the media, and the media has done a lot to our minds. In black media, if you look at the 70s blaxploitation split, you know, some people love them, but those are pieces of crap. I mean, think about it. The hero was a pimp, a drug dealer, whoever wanted to fight the man, that was a hero. You know, those weren't exactly good family values and good people to look up to as role models. That's the young rappers are still singing, I'm a pimp. You know, that stuff became popular in the 70s. So we have to start to look at what can we do to be positive contributors to society at large and not continue to be the problem or, you know, just perpetuating this negativity. And it's the syndrome of our anger that we keep propelling forward, and it's ruining the next generation. I mean, you have young mothers that are having kids between 14 and 25, and they dress their little kids like thugs, and they have them, you know, spinning out a video, music video, and rap lyrics, and they're just polluting the children's minds before they have a chance to even develop into who they want to be.
Now, speaking of influencing kids, I heard one of your clips, an audio clip, where a gentleman suggested that he made the comment I thought was interesting. He said, a sister could have one bad relationship in her life, just one bad relationship, and as a result, her resentment and bitterness can get to a point where she takes it out on her son and basically says things like, oh, you know, all black men are no good. And he said, just by that negativity, she can influence a whole nother generation of men
exactly
with these negative
happened.
Attitudes.
It's a generational problem. Women, black women, white women, women in general, as well as men, it's almost like a child molester. A child molester was generally a molested child. They hated it. At the time somebody violated their body and broke their spirit and their mind, they hated it. Why the hell would they grow up and do that to an innocent child? You know, it's a cycle. And because of the pain that they watched their mother go through, the mistakes they watched their mother make, the pain they went through watching it, the pain they went through living it in their young life, it becomes embedded in them. And they pass that same drama forward to their children so they can live out the same hell they went through. And we have to break the cycle, break the chain, and reset ourselves to raise positive people and conduct ourselves as positive people from this point in our life forward. We have to stop misleading each other and stop misleading ourselves by aligning ourselves from relationships that plain and simply suck.
Okay, we got a caller, area code 253. You are up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's on your mind? 253, you there?
Hello.
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 Hello. Who's speaking?
This is Irvin out in Seattle.
Match one out in Seattle. This is a good friend of mine, Irvin B. Pulliam III, match one. What question or comment do you have for Tim Alexander?
Well, it's a bit of both. I just wanted to throw up both of you two stretching out there doing a thing. Great show. This is kind of a little deep, but I've had these thoughts of something I've been playing around with for a while now. I just wanted to know what Tim thought, reflection on his movie. I'm just wondering, when it comes to the black woman, I mean, if we take this all the way back to the plantation, I'm always wondering, Carlos, when you think about it, something I thought about it, it's kind of a stretch, but I think there's any correlation to where, you know, black women actually, by mingling with the white plantation owners, were in other words, able in some ways to get a leg up and were able to kind of integrate and make some moves and some strides different than the black male. And I wonder sometimes if that even jets forward to even to today, where sometimes their relation to a black man is kind of has to do with like, hey, we were able to, you know, we were kind of able to do some things and you weren't, you know, from way back when. I'm just wondering if it's been traveling, and that has to do a lot with what way they relate to black men, because it's like they were able to make some strides, some moves way back then, where it's a black man, and they kind of look at it like, you know, you're still not doing it. So, you know, let's beat up on you.
I already pretty much know where you're going with that. We're more influenced by the media than we are slavery. Come on. When's the last time you were on a plantation or dated a woman who was on a plantation? I didn't think so. We're influenced by the media. We're influenced by the music we listen to. There was a time period in the late 60s, early 70s, functioning quite well. There were strong black families. They stayed together. There was a lot of respect. But then there were other things that changed it. The welfare system would only pay when there wasn't a man in the house. That was a contributing factor. Then, you know, the jobs started hiring black women because they were a double minority. But also they know that the black women will control the black men because they treat them like they do their men at home. They're very domineering, and they're very competitive. So, yes, the initial wheels were set in motion during slavery times, but since then we've had so many transitions and so many chances to break free of what was initiated. But we have to take personal responsibility to, as individual people, correct ourselves and not look for some global correction. That's not going to happen. We have to start taking responsibility as individuals. But I'm not giving the slavery any power at this point, because we got out, we got better, then we started to relapse.
Well, let me ask you this. While I interpreted Mr. Pulliam's recent comments, do you feel, like going back to the attitude of sisters just basically, for lack of a better word, disrespecting brothers, do you feel like because they've been afforded some career advancement opportunities in corporate America that, say, equally qualified brothers have not, do you perceive it as a situation where they might kind of turn their nose down on the average brother,
that.
Even though the brother's working just as hard?
I just addressed that.
I'm sorry, okay.
But they're selected because they're a double minority, so they kill two birds with one stone, mm-hmm. And also they have a tendency to control all the other black people in the office. They don't give the white man the same grief, but they get all the brothers behind because, you know, there's this pervasive negative attitude that they have, and that's reinforced by the media and feminism. Feminism wrapped its arms around the black women to increase their numbers of women, but they really didn't have the black women's best interests in mind. So it's a compounded situation. But yes, they do, you know, in a lot of cases, I've heard a lot of stories about, you know, black female supervisors or women in higher positions, and they make it very difficult on the men. Not everyone, but quite a few do. And I'd go so far as to say, for the most part, probably most. Most is anything over 51%.
Got another caller. 410-410. You are up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What is your question and or comment?
Hello, I was just calling because, I mean, you said that Baltimore was asleep, so I had to know, let you know that Baltimore was in the house.
Okay.
I did make the assumption that most of my East Coast peeps were already in the bed getting ready for the next day, but I'm glad to have B-More in the house tonight. What would you like to ask Tim, or what would you like to say?
I mean, The Diary of a Tired Black Man is like a serious title for a book, but, I mean, some women can get on black men. I mean, I know my husband would be like, the book would be called Diary of a Tired Black Broke Man.
Well,
we ain't going to go there.
Movie. It's a film, not a book. It's a film.
Oh, it's a movie? Well, if it was my husband's movie, it would be Diary of a Tired Black Broke Man, but we ain't even going to go there with that. So I'm looking forward to seeing the movie.
Now, you know it was just in your area. It was just in the Washington, D.C. area.
It was?
I know it's not right next door, but, you know.
If you go to the website, www.tiredblackman.com, when you enter the site on the home page, there's a box that says must-see review from Washington, D.C., and you can see about 300 black men and women, primarily women, 80% women, who saw the movie, and they came out and had nothing but love for it. I was right in Washington, and they came in from Maryland and everywhere else, and you can get a review straight from the women's mouth.
Okay.
And they found it very healing because it's important that we do talk about this. You know, even the talk shows, the media is geared at what's wrong with the man and what the woman's needs are. And if the women get a false sense of strength, this I don't need a man attitude, and this sense of disrespecting the man, we can never have healthy relationships. So we have to look to both sides.
Well, honey, I will let you know I definitely need a man.
Okay.
And nothing without one.
Well, it sounds like you got one.
That.
I mean, I had one, but I'm saying he said
you're
most women say
right
that. I'm married right now, but most women say that they don't need a man. I need a man. I need my man.
I know I need a woman, you know, and you know,
I'm
love.
Afraid into this show, but I definitely need my man.
Well, you know, thank you 410 for your comments, Tim. You know, it's funny. I've attended a lot of relationship chats. They have quite a few of them here in the Chicago area, and I know in a few other cities. And there does seem to be a sentiment expressed by many women. Like, I was at one relationship chat last year, spring of 2006, and I swear about five or six sisters, before they would make their comments, they would preface them by saying, I'm a single, independent, successful black woman. And many of them would also say, I don't need a man, or they would imply that they don't need a man.
And no man wants to hear that. I mean, come on. Why would you waste your time? It's just interesting about those type things. You see the women, and they come in. They're mixed men and women. They never attempt to talk to the men. I've even saw men say, I tried to talk to the women, and they wouldn't strike up a real conversation. They come to vent, but they don't really come to make a dent. And until they get that chip off their shoulder, that sense of independence, we weren't designed to function as freestanding units. We're designed to find someone to mate with. It's been throughout the history of the world in every culture. We find somebody to mate with and make a life as a team. And this sense of independence and false strength is not strength. It's a combative attitude, and it's not conducive to finding a happy balance in a relationship and the ability to make a healthy family. And it's way too much of that going on. That is from feminism. Those are the words that feminism created and embedded in today's women of every ethnicity.
I mean, you know, it's been said that we are the most unpartnered group of men and women of any race, you know, in this society. And I know you're not, you know, a relationship therapist and don't have a degree in relationship psychology or anything, but...
Actually, I'm pretty darn good at it.
Yeah, your film is testament to that.
I studied it enough.
But I just want to know, I mean, I think it's inevitable that if any race, you're going to have the single man and single women kind of, you know, throwing some mild criticisms of each other, the various aspects of each other's behavior. But I've noticed, particularly just say maybe in the last 10, 15 years or so, that with brothers and sisters, it almost borders on hatred. Like, I know you, for example, you host and moderate the message board at Tired Black Man. And I've visited there, you know, numerous times, beginning with either December or January of this year. And there were some comments expressed by some brothers on there where you can just tell that they, like, literally just had a passionate hatred for sisters. And do you think there is, I guess what I'm asking, do you think there's any light at the end of the tunnel? Do you think that attitude will be alleviated, or you think it'll just get progressively worse as years come?
It goes through cycles. Healing is a matter of venting first, and then you get a bit frustrated. And at some point, they have to look at themselves and look at what their contribution to the problem is before they can actually fix themselves. This movement is one of three. It's going to take three movies to really help people to get the full scope of what we need to do. The first is making people aware of the problem. Then we have to look at where it came from. Then we have to look at solutions and how to fix it. The black men are getting very bitter. There's even another site where a lot of the brothers have gone and have left my site, and they're just in their anger, and they're calling women names, and I'm like, how are these men going to reinforce their negative view of women and ever be able to appreciate one? My message is not to not like black women. It is not to shun them. It is to show them that they need to check their anger and check that false sense of strength that they call independence and realize that we're codependent people. It's to try to bring us back together, not separate us. I am not about separating from black women. I have a beautiful black woman in my life, and I love her to death, and I'm cool. And I want everybody to find one, the black men, the black women, people of other ethnicities, cross, you know, ethnic relationships, whatever. Find somebody and love them. It ain't that difficult. The first thing you have to do is stop fighting so doggone much. And realize that you're there to enhance the quality of your life, not to make it a lifelong struggle. And most people think that a relationship is a really big, long, hell of a never-ending fight. And it's not. It's something that you both enjoy and can't wait to get home from work like I can't to see that person that you love. And we have got to get a grip.
Now, let me ask you. Now, I know you know where you are now, but was there ever a point, you know, you said this film was pretty much based on your life. Was there ever a point, whether it be for 2 months, 6 months, a year, where you had resigned yourself, you were through with sisters. You were like, man, I'm not dating a sister ever again in life. Did you ever reach that point?
I can't ever say I was through with them, but I did have a period in my life where I was curious about others. I traveled to Europe, I traveled to Asia, and I dated people from pretty much any country you can think to name to see what the differences were. I had never said I wouldn't take a good black woman. I said I didn't care if she was picking a purple spot as long as we can have a good relationship. What I found was they're all problems. What I found was there's still something about a black woman that I can't deny. It's just, I like it. You know, there's a common understanding of each other, you know, and I'm not one to just say that just because, but, you know, black women, for one, they hate better. And there's just a certain understanding that we have with them. And I don't want anybody to think my message is leaving or try to avoid black women. As some of the people on my board posted, I do not agree with that. My thing is let's try to heal our women and heal the men, because the men are angry too. And we have to find a way to release this anger and start to grow together as people, because we're here, we're going to keep being here, we're going to keep making babies.
True, true. We got another caller, 817. 817 is on the line. You are upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's on your mind?
Hello?
817?
Yeah, this 817 right here, man. It's Doc Mind, man. How you doing, brother?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
Man, appreciation, man. I'm glad to be able to voice my opinion on your show today, man.
Oh, no problem. What's your question and or comment?
Okay, my question is, or actually my comment is, you know, no matter what woman you date in life, man, you got to make sure you keep yourself tight, man. And you know what I'm saying? Find somebody that compliments your style and your personality. And that's period, man. And that's coming from the number one brother, man. Hit me up at myspace.com/stockmind at any time. DOCMIND.
Okay, Doc Mind. Plug in your MySpace page. I'm a big MySpace person. Let me ask you, Tim, speaking of MySpace, let's say 10, 15 years ago, it is doubtful that you would have been able to get the word out about your film as rapidly as you have. But, like, I first heard about your film because it was being passed on by friends of mine through email. And within literally a week after I received it, I was just getting all these emails, mainly from my male acquaintances, but a few females too. Have you seen this? Man, this is, you got to see this. And but my question is, how would you say that venues such as YouTube, MySpace, iFilm, the internet overall, and modern technology in general has helped independent filmmakers such as yourself achieve their desired goals and objectives and make their passions into reality?
It's helped quite a bit. I've mainly seen smaller films that a lot of the younger brothers are shooting. They're shooting a lot of things on camcorders at a prosumer level. I can't say that at this point I've seen too many really major films get a lot of success yet, but I believe the day is coming. Because there's not, there's so much stuff up there, you know, and it's still a big new cottage industry as far as the young filmmakers, their ability to make the stories they want to make and use the internet to promote them. I think that Minds is making quite a bit of impact. Before I made this movie, I had a web design company. I've done a lot of marketing. I worked with a lot of celebrities. So I had access to building a really cutting-edge website and using media to its fullest degree. Also, I found a message that really hit people on an emotional level. So, you know, hopefully what I've done will be a forerunner that will help a lot of other people to find a way to, you know, create a similar impact.
Now, when you first made this, I think I read where it was not your original intention for this to be a feature, was it? You just kind of saw the popularity of it, and that was the impetus for you turning it into a feature length, or did you always have the original intention of making it into a feature?
It was actually a short to showcase the acting ability of the six actors that are in the clip. And I brought them together. They paid me. I made a demo reel, and the public just went berserk. They started demanding to see the rest of the movie. I had created a company where I was making demo reels for actors by having multiple actors in a scene. If everybody paid a little bit, gave me enough money to be able to create the whole scene. So I figured maybe if I do 100 of those, I'll be able to make a feature film. Little did I know, the first one I shot got so popular, and there was so much heat behind it that I had to literally make the movie. And that clip, it's integral to the movie, but it's not fully indicative of what the actual subject matter is. It's much broader than that clip could ever indicate.
Well, I want to highlight some of the castmates in there. Jimmy Jean Lewis
is John Lee.
Pardon?
French. Jimmy John Lee.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mispronounced it. Jimmy Jean Louis.
Jean Louis, okay. Right.
That is a nice flow to it. Now, this brother, he was seen in Fat Girls. He's been seen most recently on Heroes. I've heard he's did a just an outstanding acting job, as has Paula Lima. Paula Lima. She plays the character of Tanya, is it?
Right.
Okay, and then there's Natasha Dixon, I guess who's one of Tanya's girlfriends in the film. And
right.
There's another name I don't want to even attempt to pronounce because I know I would mess it up.
That's Dr. Israel.
Okay. And, yes, I'm just waiting. I've only saw, you know, clips. I want to see the full length. Now, what's interesting to me is that a lot of the women who have criticized this film have typically been women who haven't seen the film. Have there been any women who actually saw the film that came out of the screening saying, "Oh, that, you know, that was garbage. I hated it." Did you have anybody who felt that way?
Yeah, the anger room. The ones who are exactly the same with the partner. Almost every time, you can tell these are exactly the women that don't have a man and probably won't have one anytime soon, and they're very bitter. And instead of seeing the real message of the film, which all the sensible people can see, they want to just harp on the fact that the film had the nerve to say anything about black women at all. And that's a way of them not facing the fact that their life is broken. And it's very interesting to watch. I've even done speaking after showing the film. And generally there's 3 or 4 women that jump up and make a whole bunch of noise and start going off. And everyone in the audience looks at them like, "You're exactly the woman in the movie that we were talking about." And it's so obvious to everybody but them. So women, if you see the movie and want to start making a lot of noise, be careful because people are going to know who you are.
Interesting, interesting. Now, you know what I found interesting, and we've talked about this a few times already. Last year, I was in California for a book signing and relationship chat related to my book. And the co-author that was involved in the relationship chat and book signing event, it was in Oxnard, California. Her name, she goes by the name Pearl Jr. Now, I remember when your film was first announced, she sent out a few MySpace bulletins just trashing it. She said she was just going to vilify you. And then I have a good friend by the name of Jason Lewis, lives in Los Angeles, and he attended the Los Angeles screening. By the way, he loved it. He said it was totally different from what he thought. But he informed me that Pearl Jr. stood up after the film, I guess when you were having your question and answer comment period, she stood up and apologized for trashing this film before she actually saw it. Was that a feeling of vindication for you?
Yeah, I mean, she had called and cursed me out before she saw the film. And she was kind of rough, but, you know, the film makes a valid point, and it does it in a way that you cannot refute unless you just be completely unrealistic and you just are so consumed with your self-pity that you don't want to look at yourself. But, you know, for someone like Pearl Jr. to actually stand up in a room full of 900 people and apologize, you know, yeah, it's all great, but, you know, that's what the movie's about. It was an honest movie. It was an honest look. She also recently wanted me to come on a talk show that she was hosting, but I couldn't make it at that particular time. But, you know, if there was something wrong with it, trust me, she would have barked about it. But there wasn't.
Oh, yeah, I know from meeting her, she has strong opinions on anything that she feels is disrespectful to sisters or puts them down. So, yeah. If there was something in your film, if there's any person to me in this country that would have had something to say, it would have been her. So that speaks testaments to your film. I want to play a real brief clip that makes me chuckle. Here we go.
Secret to a happy marriage, my man. Control your woman. See these pants? You the one that's supposed to be wearing them. When you talk, she listens. It's like that old E.F. Hutton commercial. When you talk, she turn and listen. That's all you got to know.
Talking
control
all
your woman.
Bring me some food.
You want a hot dog or a hamburger, baby?
I want a hot dog.
Okay. You want some mustard?
Everything.
They got some good rest.
Man, that cracks me up because it's funny because it's real.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen partners of mine when they're talking to me and the fellas, you know, yeah, they like, you know, I run stuff. I'm the man. Then as soon as their wife or girlfriend comes around, you know. So I thought that clip was hilarious.
Some of our women, that's what Homeland Security needs to be checking for. I mean, some of them are terrorists. I mean, they just take a man and they just want to run him all up and down. And you know, they do find a way to punk the men. Because a man's in an awkward position. Women are able to get away with a little bit more because they have so much protection from other women, from the media, from the judicial system. Most of the people that are going to jail for domestic violence now are women. They think they can just haul off and smack a man, but a man knows better. You know, they think they can say anything. When they go to court, they'll trump up lies and say he did this, he did that. they never hold them accountable for their lies. You know, I mean, I can't say never, but so rarely. You know, and even the crimes that they commit don't get the same level of punishment. So the women have kind of taken things to the point where not all of them, again, not all women. I don't want to hear anybody saying he said all women. I never said all women. Just most of them. And most is anything over 51%.
Now, I got another caller coming in, but before I take this call, it's funny, you made that comment. I listened to another clip where a brother said something that I think, for the most part, is valid. He said, there are many women, again, he also said, not all women, but there are many women who not only, there's been a criticism that a lot of sisters, even college-educated sisters, prefer brothers with thuggish tendencies than, say, the intelligent, educated, semi-nerd type brother.
Yeah,
and this brother on the clip said that he thought that a lot of women want a combination of a guy who has the sensitive, almost nice guy tendencies, but also has that thug passion where he can haul off and hit her at any time. And the other brother in the clip also said that a lot of women will become drama queens and say things to provoke men to want to hit them. And I thought that was very interesting because I had
an experience. What he actually said is they don't want to be hit. They just want to feel like you're going to hit them.
Exactly. Well, you know what's interesting? I had an experience in college. There was a young lady I knew. She's from New Jersey. She actually told me, we were talking one day, and I had just broken up with my most recent girlfriend, and she was confessing to me that she had a crush on me when we were freshmen in college. But then she said, Alan, I don't think you would have been able to hang with me. And I kind of, you know, chuckled like, yeah, okay, what does that mean? She said, well, I'm a sister who, you know, knows how to challenge a brother, and I need a brother who can put me in my place when I challenge him. And I said, be more specific. And she basically went on to say she wanted a brother, didn't mind a brother who was willing to slap the crap out of her to put her back in place. And I just found that very interesting to have a woman admit to me that she preferred, or if not preferred, was willing to tolerate a man physically abusing her because she said she knew she had a spoiled bratness about her.
It's not even tolerating. For some women, hitting them is like a reset button. They need it. I have a woman on tape who said that she used to provoke her man until he would beat the crap out of her. She said she would do stuff she wasn't supposed to do. She would say stuff she knew she shouldn't say just to get him to that point where he would do that. And she said it wasn't until she found herself and found God and really took a look at herself that she was able to get past that.
Wow.
Some women, it's like brain damage. It's like, just like some people like weird sex. They like to be hurt. And there are some people that like to hurt other people. Our mind is a very complex instrument, and some people are so damaged that they prefer pain, drama, physical pain, over a nice, smooth relationship. That's no fun for them. I'd love to go to Magic Mountain on the weekend and ride the roller coaster, but I don't want my passenger car to drive like that. And some women are addicted to the adrenaline rush of what's going to happen today. You know? And they test me. They're like, I got to find his breaking point. What can I do to him today? How can I push his buttons and make him go there? And it's an absolute real problem. And when you see the film, you'll see women admit it. They will display it. You can see it everywhere. Now, we know there are a lot of foul men, but this movie isn't dealing with that. Don't try to say the movie's one-sided. No, it's not. Every movie is about what it's about. This film is called Diary of a Tired Black Man. Not all the men... A tired black man. There's one good man in the film. His boys were foul. The women were foul. It was a good black man trying to find a happy place to rest his heart. It was his journey. And part of his journey was not just how to get away from the wrong woman he married, but his journey was also to discover himself and find out what he was really about and who he really did want to be with or not want to be with. So, you know, we all have to take that journey, and we generally mature between 35 and 45, and we shake off all of our stupidity of our youth, and we finally get it right. This film's attempt is to help somebody get it right before they take it that far and have that extra damage in their life. I wish people could find themselves late 20s to mid-30s instead of mid-30s to mid-40s. Let's move it up 10 years. You know, just don't forget to show a few people who are on the cusp, close to the middle. If they can show them where the good side is, the mission is accomplished. My main mission is to create a national dialogue for change. Fight between men and women or an individual thing that happens between those two people. Who's a man going to tell that his wife abuses him verbally and physically? If he tells his boys he's a punk, if he tells another woman he's a punk, it's a silent crime. When a woman hits a man, it's not that it hurts that bad. It's just so insulting. And it's so degrading.
True.
Now, if the man were to hit the woman, then he's got a quick ticket to jail. Actually, it takes more strength to not hit a woman back than it does to whack the hell out of her.
I agree.
To smack her in her head until blood came out of her mouth and nose would be fun, next to standing there and taking it. But a strong man is going to say, hey, I'm not going to go there with you because you're trying to push me there. I'm stronger than that. Where you're going to push me is away from you. That's where you're going to push me. So I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to treat you like those other ignorant fools that you and your mother dealt with treated you. I'm not going to do it. That is a strong black man. And a strong black woman to use her strength to nurture her family and love her family. She should use her strength to keep her goodness and character even though she was abused when she was younger. That's a strong black woman. Someone who can use her strength to be true to her goodness and not to her anger.
Okay, Tim, we got two more calls I'm going to take, and then I'm cutting off the phone lines. I got 916 on the line, and I got 805. I'm going to start with 916. 916, you are up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What is your question and or comment? Did I lose 916? 916. Okay, I guess I'll be switching to 805. 805, you are up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What is your question and or comment? Now, they're showing that they're still here, but...
More what?
I'm not hearing anything.
Alan.
Hello?
Alan. Alan, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
This 805? Okay.
What's up? Can you hear me?
Yes. Who's this?
This is Charm.
Charm.
Yeah, Charm from MySpace. I listened to your show before.
Oh, okay. Campaign. Yeah. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. We only got about 7-8 more minutes left. What is your question and or comment for Mr. Alexander?
Oh, I ain't really got a question or comment. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a comment. You know, I like what you guys are doing. You know what I'm saying? Everything sounds good and lovely over here.
Okay. Well, appreciate the love. Appreciate the love.
Tell
all your friends about the show and tell all your friends about Diary of a Tired Black Man. It'll be coming to a theater near you. And I appreciate the call, buddy.
That's right. All right.
And I'm going to give 916 one more try. 916. Oh, boy. I think we lost 916.
Well, a few other things I'd like to add. Everybody, please go visit the website, www.tiredblackman.com. That's where everything is at. Look at the review from Washington. There are other radio interviews. You can read the forum. You can see clips from the movie. And one other thing, people, hear me good. Don't buy bootlegs. Us filmmakers, myself, the other filmmakers, for some reason, there's some little no-good, nasty turds that walk the street. And so it's their God-given right to sell our property and give us no compensation whatsoever. Please, people, don't buy bootlegs. Otherwise, we can't continue to make films.
I echo that so much. It's not even crazy. Yes. Yes, you are taking money out of this gentleman's pocket when you buy a bootleg. You know, it is just... That is just blasphemous.
And,
you know, there's a lot of people out here struggling to make their dreams come a reality as a filmmaker. And please, as he said, do not buy bootleg copies of his film.
And then people's excuse is, well, you know, they're out there selling this. So I didn't do anything. I just bought it. You contributed to it. If you stop buying it, they'll stop selling it. It's not fair. You buy a bootleg for $5, put another $3 with it, and go see it in the theater.
Exactly. Well, we're coming up on just our last few minutes. I want to just take the time to really thank you, Tim, for joining me this evening to discuss your film. It's a great film, and what are the chances you think it'll come to Chicago within the next 2 to 3 months?
It'll definitely be in Chicago. A good portion of it was shot in Chicago.
Oh, really? Never knew that.
Oh, yeah, it was shot right in Hyde Park. And, boy, let me tell you, those Chicago girls are the toughest girls in the country.
I know they'll be glad to hear that.
It's not exactly a compliment. Don't get twisted.
Okay.
And you see your Chicago girls showing out, run. Y'all need to push girls from another state.
Chicago, man. You got a wide variety of sisters in Chicago. Chicago has the second highest number of sisters in the country. Hello?
I'm sure there's plenty of beautiful women in Chicago, but not the ones I ran into.
Okay. Oh, they're going to run Tim out of town when he comes to Chicago. But I know a lot of Chicago people are looking forward to it. And like I said, I've heard nothing but good things. Oh, you know, before I let you go, I wanted to real quickly highlight that brother. There was one brother on your film review clip. He said he hadn't been to a movie theater in like 14, 15 years. Last 15 years, he's just been watching movies on DVD. But he drove something like, 75 miles to see your film?
Yeah, he sure did.
Wow, that just has to make you feel good.
Oh, yeah, it does. You know, and there were doctors and federal judges there. And I mean, some people that came in from New York and Boston and Delaware, I mean, they came from all over to see that film. There's a hunger to find the truth. And the resounding theme from the women was, I appreciate the fact that you talk to real people and you put the truth on the screen, not just your opinion.
There you go. That about sums it up. Again, the film is called Diary of a Tired Black Man. Diary of a Tired Black Man. That is the film. The writer and director is Tim Alexander, and he has been my guest this evening on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. So I'm about to close things out. I want to thank you for all those, especially those on the East Coast, that stayed up a little later past your bedtime to listen to me interview this fine gentleman. And, tell your friends about it, because the state of affairs in the African community between single black men and single black women is headed towards, you know, DEFCON 5, you know, red alert status. I mean, there's just so much.
We can't take two more generations of this.
There's so much contentiousness between us, and I think his film is an attempt to first identify some of the factors contributing to the problems and then seek out a solution. So, Tim, I want to thank you once again for joining me. Hopefully we can have you back in a month or two, particularly after you come to Chicago. I want to know if you didn't have a tomato thrown at your head for talking about those Chicago women. But I really enjoyed talking to
you. Y'all see, just watch the film. It shows the picture from when it says Chicago, look out.
All right, folks, that about wraps it up for this edition of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I will not be live next week. That is July 4th week, but I will be back again July 10th. July 10th, I'll be back on Tuesday afternoon and do two shows, Tuesday afternoon and Thursday evening. So until then, check me out. I'm at mode1.net, MODEONE.net. My book is Mode One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. I'm on myspace.com/mode1. Be safe, be healthy, and as always in your communication, be upfront and straightforward. Take care.